as he said many times, drive the bus. He wants two hands on the steering wheel, and he's not going to, you know, not have 100% control. And as long as Jay was there, there was going to be give and take, and that's not Brian's style.
Is that the bottom line, though? Because if you're Brian Burke, don't you put yourself in an awkward position if you
he
become...
He doesn't care.
He's now the interim GM.
He doesn't care. He wants to be on the firing line, and he wants to be in the fire, and he wants to be the guy. That's been his history.
Yeah, that's the big question, whether or not he becomes president of hockey operations and the general manager, or whether he hires a general manager to operate like Greg Sherman does with the Colorado Avalanche.
A fake
where
GM.
It's very little power, and it's Sakic, and it's Patrick Watt. Let's go live to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, and here is Peter Hanlon, director of communications for the Calgary Flames.
It is game day. We will conduct our regular game day media availabilities on time, with the exception of Coach Hartley, who will be delayed until a bit later this morning. It will take place outside of the Flames locker room. So I'd like to introduce the president of hockey operations for the Calgary Flames, Brian Burke.
Thanks, Peter. Thank you for assembling on short notice. I always say this. We tend to take this for granted, but we make these personnel moves and everyone has to scramble their schedule to accommodate us. We don't take that for granted, so thank you. This morning, I relieved Jay Feaster and John Weisbrot of their duties as general manager and assistant general manager, respectively, of the Calgary Flames. I'm going to serve as acting general manager until a new GM is hired, but that search has already begun. We have received permission to interview one candidate already. We will seek permission to interview several others later today. I did not come here to be the general manager. I am not going to be the general manager other than for a short time. A couple words about Jay. Jay's a good man, and he did his best here. He's a good person. And his fingerprints are going to be on this team for many years, with players that he brought here like Sean Monahan and other players. So I want to thank Jay for his hard work here and wish him well in the future. But my job when I came here was to assess the organization, spent the first 60 days essentially reviewing the track record of the team in terms of trading and drafting, evaluating the staff, evaluating the players, evaluating the farm team, and reaching a conclusion, making a report to Ken King and to the ownership group regarding my conclusions and where I thought we needed to go as a team to take the next step. And my conclusion was that we needed to make a change to get to the next level. And that's why today we took the steps we took and the search has begun. There will be no further changes. I'm very happy with the coaching staff. I think sometimes when you make a change like this, the instantaneous reaction is, okay, who's next? There will be no further changes. The coaching staff, front office staff, training staff, even if a new GM comes in, these coaches are going to coach this team through the year. I promise them that. So I'm very happy with the way the team works. I'm very happy with the job the coaching staff has done. We need to figure out a way to hold some of these leads and convert some of these leads into W's. But in terms of the team's work ethic and the role that the young players have been given, I'm very pleased with the coaching staff. So, questions, please.
Brian, why now did you make this choice?
I needed this much. As I said when I took the job, I told Ken, it's going to take, you can't come in and evaluate an organization from outside. If you want to do it thoroughly, it's going to take 60, 75 days. So that occupied that chunk of time. Then I wanted to present it to the full ownership group, which with Ken they had a meeting scheduled for this week. And we are in our trade freeze now. And I wanted to do it as far away from Christmas as possible, even though we're close to Christmas. As soon as this decision was reached and sold to ownership, I wanted it done.
Why then was Jay and John, in your opinion, not the gentleman to lead this franchise forward? Why did you come to that?
Well, I think that there's only two ways to answer that question. And one way is to duck it, and the other way is to throw rocks at somebody. I can go back and analyze, you know, I think the general manager's job consists of a certain number of discrete, very distinct tasks. One is putting your staff together. One is trades, and there are three kinds of trades. There are futures trades, there are standard trades, and then there's selling trades, you know, deadline trades. You can go back and evaluate those, and you can reach your own conclusion whether we received full value in those deals. You can evaluate our drafts and see whether we did the best we could in those drafts. Obviously, I reached the conclusion that we haven't. And so I'm not shoveling dirt on people. You guys want to dissect all these things, please do it. But I'm not going to do it. Jay's my friend. Today's it's not fun firing a friend. I've had to do it a few times. It's not fun. Sure, his end of it's less fun, but it's not fun.
You mentioned when you got the job that you looked around the pro leagues in North America and you thought this would work. Was that not with personnel, just the way the management setup was? Because you thought it was going to work back then.
Yes, and I think Jay did his best to make it work. We got along just fine, you know, as far as interacting on a day-to-day basis. But that's, you know, my job here is, this is all about having a parade. You know, it seems very distant on a day like today. You know, our team's struggling. We're near the bottom of the standings. And the guy's standing up here talking about titles, and people are saying, man, this guy needs a urine test. But that's what this is about. I wouldn't have come here if that wasn't the ultimate goal. And I have to look at the steps that have been taken and figure out what's the best way for us to get on that path. And I've reached the conclusion that we need to make this change.
Brian, what are the next steps to get to that next level? And what are the intangibles needed from the next general manager in your search to get there?
Well, the teams that are successful in our league there are a lot of different teams that are successful in our league. So you can pick the top 10 teams in our league right now. One thing they have in common, the coaches might be different, the systems might be different. One thing they have in common is they're big. And I really believe that once the Anaheim team won the Cup in 07, every team started to blueprint themselves after that. And successful teams are big. We're not big enough. That's one thing. And we're not hostile enough for me. I don't like playing flag football. I like teams that bang, and this is not, I don't like the way we play. And I think that you need a blueprint, and you need a determination to assemble a team a certain way, and that's what this GM's going to have, not because it's Brian Burke's view on life that we like big hockey or hard hockey, but that's what wins in our league. And so that's the first thing, is that person's got to be a guy that shares that blueprint, that wants, we want black and blue hockey here. That's what we do in Alberta. So that's the first thing. We got to be big and more truculent. You're all waiting for the word. There it is. I want a little more hostility out there than I'm seeing right now.
So without throwing dirt on Jay, is that a difference in philosophy looking at some of the size of the players that we have coming up?
Yes. And so forth? Yes, I don't think that's throwing a rock. We're smaller than I want to be.
How does this change, the rebuilding program that you had began when you got here? Does this alter the speed of what you're trying to accomplish? Can you put it in perspective where this sits now that you made these moves?
I don't think it makes a whole hell of a lot of difference, to be honest with you. I'm not a patient person. I've said this before. I was born, thank you. I was born impatient. I'm going to die impatient. I know that. It can't come as fast as I'd like it to come. This just, you know, we're in our trade freeze now anyway, so this really doesn't affect anything. Yes?
Brian, you mentioned your relationship with Jay. John Weisbrod was relieved as well. Could you characterize your relationship with him?
I didn't interact a whole lot with John. John's very smart. He's a very bright guy. But he was away from the office most of the time I was here. I didn't interact with him that much, so I didn't have a great relationship with him that I could tell you about. Jay has been a friend for a long time.
Brian, could you characterize maybe what you're looking for in Jay's replacement?
Well, I think first off, we have to replace two people, and I think given where we are right now, we're going to need some expertise in terms of draft positioning, where we are, where we're going to pick. That should be obvious. So it's got to be someone who we've got to make sure we get these picks right. And that's the only rainbow when you have a tough year, is you've got to get those picks right. It's not optional. In a hard cap system, when you have a bad year, you get a high pick, you've got to hit home runs. And Jay did last year with Monahan. But that's one part of this management team that comes in. These two people are going to have expertise in that area. Other than that, just either a young guy with great promise, maybe some experience, or just a young star that hasn't been given a chance. That's the beauty of this management structure, is that you could take a guy literally out of uniform if you believed in him and turn him loose. And he could avoid those big mistakes that young GMs make.
How important,
Brian, is this an attempt to speed up the organization's rebuild, number one? Number two, what about Craig Conroy?
Well, Craig Conroy's not going anywhere, if that's what you mean. I mean, is he being... I'm not promoting anyone today either. I mean, this is a case where we're going to make do with what we have till we sort this out, but there will be no other changes in terms of, I think what the job they gave Craig, he's doing very well. I think he's a natural teacher. I think it's a great fit for him. I think the future's bright for Carney, but I don't plan on making any changes to that setup now.
Does this attempt to speed up the rebuild?
Yes.
Why don't you want to be general manager?
Well, first off, I thought that would be the first question. First off, it's not the deal I made with Ken King and the ownership group here. The deal I made was they have a vision, again, shared in other sports, where a longer-term view of someone who's steering the ship rather than you change GMs every 3 or 4 years and the ship is zigzagging across the sea. This is more of a presence, a continuity, if you will. And so that was a deal I came here on. I'm not going to Welsh on that deal now and say all of a sudden, aha, now I want to be the GM. It would certainly cast some suspicion on my motives in making this change, too, if I announced today, well, I'm the new GM. Well, then did you really give Jay a fair chance? Because I think I did. But I don't want his job. So I think it validates that process a little bit. It's not the deal that I made with ownership and with Ken when I came here. And I'm prepared for this role. I laughed when Buffalo opened up and someone said, oh, Brian's going to go after that job. I'm a Calgary Flame. And in this role, I want to be a Calgary Flame for a long time. That means the next order of business is putting the general manager in here who can get us where we need to be.
Brian, just a follow-up on the Craig Conroy question. Is Craig a candidate?
No, not at this point. Someday he's going to be. That's a guy who's going to be a general manager, and maybe he's a candidate for the second job here, but we haven't gotten that far. This all just happened this morning.
Brian, Con's already saying either two camps here, either another scapegoat after another run of bad years for Flames, others also saying good, shaking things up. What do you think? What should fans take away from this?
Well, we're not... our fans are the lifeblood of our business, but they can't drive the decision-making process. This is not, I'm not kissing babies up here. I'm not running for office. This is about winning hockey games. And I have to take the steps that I think are going to lead us to win the most hockey games we can win. And they're not fun always. Today's not a fun day. And they're not popular always. But this is not a popularity contest. There's no poll at the end of this. And I don't pay attention to stuff like that. The people I listen to are season ticket holders and our sponsors. In my judgment, I've been at this a long time. I think I know what I'm doing. And in my judgment, this move today was necessary.
Brian, was your assessment and ultimate decision on the situation based just on what you've seen in your time here, or was it an evaluation also of what's happened in the past?
Both.
Can you talk a little bit about the timing of the decision and the importance, I guess, to get it done today and this day? Did you consider applying that trade freeze to Jay and John as well?
No. To me, there is another team conducting a search right now. So we're not in a vacuum. If there's any overlap on the candidates we want, today's important. And I'll know later today if there is or not. So... first things first, I believe once you make a decision to terminate someone, they're entitled to learn that as quickly as possible. You'd like to avoid the Christmas situation. Ken and I talked about that at length. The way this worked for me to get my report done and spend the time that I felt the staff here deserved. It shouldn't have been spend 2 weeks and here's what I think, let's make a change. It was 75 days of being around, asking a lot of questions. I've called the teams that these guys worked for before they got here. I've asked for outside evaluations of our drafting and our current roster. I think it was done about as thoroughly and fairly and academically as you could do it. Not just Brian Burke's view on life. Did we do this right? Did we do that right? I think Jay was entitled to that. So that took time. And then we had to get it around an ownership meeting. And so unfortunately, it's closer up against Christmas than we wanted, but timing dictates once you, I'd rather do it now than in 10 days. And second, there's another team doing a search. This is not, you know, this time could be of vital essence here. So that's why the timing. Is it a good time of year? There's never a good time of year to fire people. And trust me, I've been on the wrong end of this thing too, so I know.
Brian, can you just make it a little clearer? I mean, you talk about getting more W's now, but at the same time, this is about a parade for down the road. So is this about trying to make the team better for now, but yet build for the future?
No, I'm frustrated, like all of our fans are, with our inability to hold leads. Like, I love how this team works. I love how the coaches are playing the kids. There's so much about this team to like, and our fans are really happy with those developments. I'm just frustrated that we seem to routinely turn third period leads into losses. And sometimes, you know, overtime losses or shootout losses, but the Edmonton game. Now, how does that get to overtime? How does that get to overtime? And yet, I bet you a lot of you are thinking this is going to get to overtime. And so we have a penchant, a proclivity for not hanging on to lead. I'm frustrated by that. That's not a long-term or short-term thing. That's just life right now. We've got to figure out a way.
So today's move has nothing to do with what you did?
No. This is, and in fact, in my meeting with the coaches, I told them, you do what's best for the team long-term. Like right now, if that means you, if there's a guy you're not going to play in the next 10 games, you want to send a young guy down, send him down.
Dean? I may be asking the same question, but just in terms of the patience level with the rebuild, is this signaling an acceleration of that? Are the team looking to be at from going point A to point B at a faster rate? That patience, is it dwindling?
Yes, it should signal this. It's a different timing element than it was now, which is we've made a decision that what we're doing isn't going to get us there as fast as we want to get there. So yes, it shows a lack of patience or a reset or whatever term you want to use. That's fine with me, but yes.
Because I know when you came from Toronto, you said just because what you did in Toronto didn't mean it was going to happen here. Do you feel now maybe that it is a similar path?
No, I mean, people ask me this all the time. Every team I've gone to work for, I've managed to fix over time. Toronto was a bigger challenge than I think people realized, and certainly than we realized, because of all the assets that we had to move before we could bring in new assets. We had a lot of guys who were overpaid, who had term. And really, realistically, at one point I said, I'm not sure we'll be able to move any of these guys. And we managed to move them all and turn them into assets. So that's what occupied the first 24 months there. That's not the case here. Jay's done a good job of managing the payroll. We're under cap. We don't have 50 contracts. It's different. You know, we don't have the same, you don't have to shovel the driveway out here, shovel a stable out before you start bringing thoroughbreds in here. And that's what we had to do in Toronto. Vancouver was a different thing altogether. Anaheim, another different thing. So, I mean, just this here is really, I feel, for us to take the next step. We'll do it quicker and better with a change.
Roger Baldwin here. Brian, conversely, you have a lot of veteran players with one-year contracts in their final year of the deal.
Yep.
Does that help you going forward? Basically, what you're just saying, instead of having long-term deals that are high, you've got veteran players that are finishing out their contract right now.
Correct.
So that will help you move forward quickly?
Yep.
We anticipate that after the trade freeze is over, that we can start looking towards more abrupt types of changes?
My plan would be to be patient until we see how long it takes to get the guy we want in here. It's not that simple that I just go meet this guy in an airport and interview him. We'd want the owners to meet him. We want Ken to be comfortable with him. So that could take a little longer in the meantime. If we can do something to improve the team, I'll do it. But we are in a freeze now until the 27th.
In terms of the GM you're looking for, would you be okay with the idea of having someone that you could basically mentor, someone new who's never done the job before, or would you prefer to have someone who's been a GM before?
The list that I am going to give to Ken King and to ownership is going to have people in both those camps. But people, not people with no experience, but people with possibly no GM experience.
Can you give us a sense, I know you have lots of commitments to uphold after you took the job, but how your day-to-day will look until you get two new people, I guess, in the
position? Yeah, this fall, obviously, I had a bunch of commitments back east. I had to go back to Kuwait with the Canadian Forces. And ownership was very good about understanding that schedule when I came here. But a lot of the time that I have not been with the team has been by choice, deliberately. I didn't want the players confused about who was in charge. I didn't want them wondering, is Jay in charge or is Berkey in charge? So I have done very little travel with the team. I have stayed out of the way until I completed my evaluation. That will change now. I talked to the players this morning. And I will be with the team more. Obviously, we've got an Olympic break coming up, and I'm going to be involved in that. So things won't be totally normal for me until after everyone gets back from Sochi. But, yes, you'll see a difference now starting right away with the amount of time I'm around. And I tried to put some distance there to help things.
What was your message to the players this morning?
Well, the message was, first off, that these changes are part of this business, and that's a drop. I said there will be no other changes other than these two. I thank them for how hard they've worked. I really think this team has been the hardest working team in the National Hockey League this year. I really am proud of that. But I said we've got to find a way to hold on to some leads and convert these leads, third period leads. Last I looked, there's no column in the standing for that. They just have wins and losses and shootout losses. And there's no column there that says, yeah, but we had a lead in the third. You don't get anything for that. So I said we need to convert some of those leads into W's. That's all. But I'm really proud of the team and how they work. It's pretty, you can't yell at them. They don't cheat us. I told them they don't cheat us on the work side of things at all. That's a blue-collar team.
Brian, you've worked extensively with Dave Coulin in Toronto, the VP hockey operations. Is he a guy that you'd ask about or that you have inquired about his availability?
I have not, and for me to express interest in anyone's name who's under contract would constitute tampering, and I'm pretty sure that our ownership group wouldn't be too happy with a big fine, so I will leave it at that.
The assistant position, is that your call or will that be the hire of the general manager?
That will be the general manager's hire.
Final question. Brian, you've got some smaller finesse players in the system. You talked about going black and blue. What are those players?
There's plenty of room for small players in our game. There's plenty of room. All these teams that are competitive have small players. What I'm saying is you need some beef around them. You know, like I sent a text this morning to the coach at Boston College. Said, make sure your guys know we still love them. There's a couple players there that we drafted. One of them's quite small, the Gaudreau kid. But he's quite gifted as well. There's room for the small player in our game, but you better surround him with some beef. And that's, you know, the bottom six forwards are easier to fill out. The black and blue part of your team, that's easier to fill out than the skill part of your team. So there's plenty of room for small skill guys. You know, everyone says you have a big team, you have this, you have that. I've had some pretty good players play for me too. Pretty highly skilled players that I place great value on. Guys like Bure and Naslin, Sedin. You know, like I have Teemu Selanne, I have lots of room for skilled guys. And it's easier to fill out the roster with the bangers than it is with the skilled guys. Anyone can paint a bar. But you need a special person to paint it to a masterpiece. It's different.
Thank you.
You've been listening and watching Brian Burke, the president of hockey operations for the Calgary Flames, address the media after he relieved general manager Jay Feaster and assistant general manager John Weisbrod of their duties today, 30 games into the relationship that we widely consider